You are the surviving remnant, apparently. So, let's see if we can't, God help us. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Deal with us, deal with all the sick and those in need and trouble. And our God, honor yourself in all of it. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, and we're in chapter 17, coming to the end of the upper room discourse. And in the process, we are spending and looking at the wonderful truth, John 17 and 18, 17 and 18, the point, the assignment, the mission. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So the believers are to represent our Lord Jesus Christ in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way, to honor him. And as the Word became flesh, John 1:14, you'll remember in the beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And God is now demonstrating his resurrected life in the believing believer's heart on planet Earth. That's the whole point, to represent him properly. And in doing so, we share together in chapter 17 and in verse 3, the definition of eternal life, a definition. And as thou hast given, chapter 3, 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that purpose, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, to have a personal, unique, wonderful relationship to God. That's eternal life, a relationship to God. It isn't something you put in your pocket and have life. It's a relationship to the person of God eternally. How so? By the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and we came down in the light of being sent, and we're being sent in such a way to represent him. Let me do a little more to get there. John chapter 14. Remember, as we did all this, the disciples have been instructed, initiated into understanding that which they will understand on the day of Pentecost. John chapter 14. And you remember Thomas asking, show us the Father, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It will satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father, if you have seen me, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we could behold the wonderful glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day, remember the day we're looking at, day of Pentecost and the assignment to be outworked. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. A unique, wonderful oneness. I am going to be in my Father. My Father's going to be in me. I am going to be in you. And you're going to be in me. It's an awesome thing. Now, and we did that with all the cups. You know, we did all those things. The cups, you don't have to do them all now, but here they are. Everything is a one. One. And God, you receive the Lord as your Savior. And as you receive the Lord as your Savior, God puts you, the Savior puts you in himself. and all of it. It's a oneness. God the Father, God the Son. You receive him as your Savior. God the Father, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, John 1:12, I received the Father. I can't have the Son without the Father. I can't have the Son and Father without the Spirit of God. It's a unique, awesome oneness. Oneness, like no other, like no other. Cohesion, not adhesion. Cohesion, cohesion. Piece of steel, that's cohesion. Adhesion, I could make and glue. I could glue something together, which I do. Gluing, adhesion. Cohesion, steel. All the microbes and atoms, etc., bind together. God makes us a oneness, a unique oneness. Now, so as we come to the end of this awesome discourse, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, God's running it all together. What have you been trying to say, God? The disciples are going to know it and show it. We're supposed to be, we're in the body, God. All of these truths are to be in and are abiding. All these truths are to be finding a home in our heart so that we understand as we get out of bed, go to bed, go to work, school, whatever it is. Now, so John 17, sliding down if I can, to verse 21, 17 and 21. Now, there's a sevenfold purpose, a purpose with seven underlines. The purpose is magnified seven times, so you can't miss it. And you'll see it, and we'll mention it. There's a little word in verse 21, THAT, that, conjunction, purpose, purpose, in order that, in order that, for purpose, final, what's the purpose? In order that. So there's seven of them. One, two, not all that's, you'll catch it. Now, so in verse 21, looking at it, it's an awesome oneness. How to describe the oneness? Well, the best I can do is take the words and God help us understand them. Verse 21, that, here's the body of believers that to understand, that they also may be one in us, present tense, that the believers have a unique relationship, may be one in us, in God, in Christ. The believers had to have a unique oneness, cardinal number one, only one, even one, only one, a unique oneness in Christ. And so, and that's it now. That's the first one, the body of believers are to be one, just as God the Father and God the Son. Perfect, 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 perfect union. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship. First one. I'll do that again to help, didn't mean to confuse you. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That's the first one. A unique relationship. As God is one, so the believers are to be one. One body. You're in how many bodies? One body. From head, you have a head, and you have how many bodies underneath you? One, just one body. Christ is the head, and the believers are the body. There's not 10 bodies, one body with all of its parts, the liver, spleen, and all of it. One body. Verse 21. We're to be one with the head, the one body. Liver, spleen, heart, lungs, one body, one marvelous body. And secondly, and that, Father, me and I and thee, that they may be one in us. So the relationship, the body has a unique relationship to each other, the parts, lungs, pancreas, and all of them. All of them have a unique one. That unique oneness belongs to the oneness that we're to have, where is this oneness found? Together. Here we are, body of believers. Our oneness is with God. That's where it is. The oneness. So what kind of oneness is it? It's the kind God has to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. A unique, wonderful oneness. Thirdly, in verse 21, that the world may believe, and believe the reason that thou hast sent me. So what are we doing? We represent God in a most wonderful way, that God, we're supposed to be evidencing God. We're to be knowing God. Knowing. What is knowing? We're to eternal life is to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. To know God. And to know God and to show God. Our Lord Jesus, for 3 1/3 years, went up and down the land before he was crucified to show. Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So there's no question. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're sent as the Father sent him, so sent he sends us. To what? Represent him. As a body. A body. Whose body? His body. What kind of relationship do we have? The same relationship that the Father and Son and the Spirit of God have. A unique oneness. 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 Oh, God has it. All we can do is seek to try to even say it now. So therefore, in this unique oneness, for the and the unbelievers are to be able to know and to see what? The Lamb of God, what? What are we supposed to be showing? You know all these things, we've been doing them. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he took on a human body in Bethlehem of Judea, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, determined in their creative, wonderful way to glorify themselves, because God is glorious. So the painter was going to paint a painting. The architect is going to build a building. God is going to show himself his glory. How is he going to show himself? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is going to die on the cross. There's no angels yet, heaven. That's right. The plan is there, and then it has to be outworked. Christ is going to die. The Lamb is going to be slain for the foundation, from the foundation of the world. God is going to demonstrate his awesome, awesome, wonderful saving grace. Angels are going to be created and fall, and humans are going to sin and fall, and God is going to be the wonderful solution to the whole thing, the Lamb slain. So God, what are we doing? We're being sent into the world. Christ has been crucified, going to be crucified. He's going to leave the upper room, go to the garden, the trials, and the cross, and rise again. And what are we going to do? As my Father sent me, he's going to send the believing heart. What are the believers going to do? They're going to go and represent what? Jesus Christ died on the cross to save whosoever, all whosoevers. And the believers that are believing represent him to the world that isn't believing, to the world that loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They're going to go and represent they're going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And what are we doing? We're demonstrating God is able to be, is the Savior. We're saved. We're demonstrating Christ is my Savior. I received him. The world says, I don't, but I did. You did, I hope. We're saved. Wonderfully, wonderfully saved. And that's what we're doing. Showing what? As my Father sent oneness in order to show what? You have a unique, what is oneness? To know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we're sent, verse 21, the third one. The fourth one, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. For what purpose? That they may be one, even as we one, to have a unique oneness to God. The same oneness that I have to my Father. I have brought them in Christ to have in myself, the Lord said, to have that oneness in my Father. And so verse 22, I have given them the glory that they may be one, as even as we are one. Now, so we've been doing that, looking at God's wonderful glory, the wonderful impression that is made. That's the word glory, to give the impression, to the appearance, glory, the appearance of the reality and the appearance. We shared it last time and all of that. Just think of the sun at high noon, easy. And you can't miss the sun if you're standing outside. And the sun's bright, high noon. The glory of the sun is there. You can't miss it. There's no way to miss it. There's no way to turn anywhere. The light is everywhere. The glory of the sun is there. You can't miss it. And we share together the ocean. If I went out in the middle of the ocean, and you get up on deck there and look, no matter where you look, there's water. The glory of the ocean is everywhere. Everywhere. Its appearance. It's there, and it tells you it's there. And the waves go up and down to confirm it. Wow. It's there. Wow. If you did it again, think of if you had a great firework display and you had a little firework here, and make believe you had a firework. Here's the firework. And it's there. Nothing. What's the glory of this? What's the glory of this firework? And we put a little thing to it, and it goes, you can't see it. And then it burst open. The glory of this shows itself. The appearance of the reality. You got it? Glory, 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 glory. The God, God is glorious. He's everywhere. The flowers declare, the bugs, the birds, the stars, and all of those things declare the glory of God. He's the creator. And it declares his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful purpose in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God is evidencing his wonderful purpose in a most wonderful way so that we know and we can show God's wonderful purpose. Now, so in verse 22, we have the fourth purpose. All of it's the same purpose. It's just seven times it's going to say it to you and build it in a wonderful way. So, in the light of that, in God's glory. So, in verse 23, I in them and thou in me. Thou in me. I am going to be in them and thou in me. I in them and thou. God. So, here's the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Remember what John 14:9, if you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. You're looking at God the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. What is God going to do for all eternity? He's the invisible, infinite God. And all of forever, all of trillions of galaxies, let alone stars, are a finite little expression, a little drop. The universe, a little drop of God. Everything is in the middle of God. How are we going to see God? How are we going to understand God? Awesome. No, the Lord said it. No man has seen God at any time, he said. No, but God has shown itself. How so? The Lamb became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so we could see him. What are you going to do for all eternity? I'm going to put on display my great work of glorious work that is a new heavens and a new earth and the Lamb. He's the centerpiece, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. that died on the cross, risen, seated. He is the one. Now, what are you doing, God? I want the world to know in this time of grace. I want the world to know what? That I died for every single person walking on planet Earth. They need to know. I want them to know. They don't want to know. But I want them to have opportunity to know so that they would understand that I died for them. And there's no need for them to wander around on planet Earth lost and bankrupt and going nowhere. I created them for my glory and my honor. All they have to do is believe and receive me as my Savior. But there's all kinds of religions, right? All kinds of philosophies, all kinds of everything. Ah, that's right. The devil has 1,000 varieties, 10,000 varieties, but there's only one God. What is eternal life? To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, only God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the only way. John 17 and 8 in that. In the Mount of Transfiguration, here's Moses and Elijah and the disciples, Peter, James, and John are getting all excited about seeing them. And God takes Moses and Elijah away. And Peter and James and John, look. Verse 8, 17 and 8. And they saw Jesus only. It isn't about Moses, the law. It isn't about Elijah, the prophets. It's about the God who's making himself known. He's the only God and only Savior. And his job, his assignment, the assignment he has given to the believing heart is to represent him on planet Earth. That's why he gives the glory. The glory of what? The glory of what? When you receive Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, is full of glory. So when I receive him as my Savior, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and in the process, I receive God's glory. Where is the glory? In me. Where's the glory? It isn't in me, because we all got the same lousy old nature. So it isn't in me. It's not in you. It's not in Moses. It's not in Elijah. It's in the God of Elijah and the God of Moses. And now in Jesus Christ, God in Christ in you. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. The one. So all the world, pay attention. But we're nobody. Ah, but you're saved. You're saved. So I don't know that I'm saved. Then you don't show anything. But if you understand you're saved, then the glory, God, you're trusting. How am I going to show glory? I'm trusting God. I'm thanking God. In everything, what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What are you doing? You know, it used to be. People talk to themselves sometimes. Okay, now if you go out, airline or something, I'm trying to think of that, and people are walking and you're sitting there looking and someone's going on and they're talking, and you look up and say, well, what'd you say, sir? He wasn't even thinking of you. He's talking to his little thing in his head and his heart, his hand, and he's talking. He doesn't even have anyone around him. Do you ever watch it? The people sitting there talking? They're all alone eating a sandwich, talking to somebody. And who are they talking to, you see? Who are they talking to? So you what? So I look at the guy and the girl. I say, what? And I have to understand, they're talking to somebody. The believing heart is thanking somebody, is trusting somebody, is going around trusting God. Not tears, thanksgiving, looking to God, this is the will of God, outworking everything, that's what we're doing. And people look, They said, what are they doing? Why do they do? Why do they act like that? Think like that. Say that word. Say those things, thanksgiving. All of those things. Why? Because they have a relationship, what? To God. And they show it. You see, have you had lunch or something? You bow down and say thank you. Well, they're looking. They're looking. Understand? Why do they don't play? Just eat. You pray, not too long, and because your food get cold, and in the process you look to God, and they don't do that. Why do they do that? They're looking to God. They're thanking God. That's what they're doing. What are we doing? We're sent a glory, the glory of God. It isn't, we aren't. We aren't glorious. God in you is glorious. And you're thanking the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your life. You have a relationship to him, and that relationship shows itself. It shows itself. I have a relationship to God as my Lord and Savior, and so do you if you're saved. You have that wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. So in verse 23, now having the glory, and here's number five, purpose number five. I in them and thou in me. I in them, it's repeated. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Let's repeat it. There's a unique oneness. You see, I could have to play with these cups and all over the place because it's a unique oneness. Say it 10 different ways to us. It's a unique oneness to God. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, a unique oneness, a new, marvelous. Look, and while you're here, just turn over chapter 14 for a minute. In chapter 14, picking up, in verse 21, now remember verse 20 we read, because this is all going to become very real on the day of Pentecost when the believers are given that awesome relationship for real. Chapter 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest, make myself known clear, simple, wonderful, plainly, manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, my Father and I, will come unto him and will make our abode with him. We're going to find my God, think of what we did in Hebrews in Sunday school. I will be their God. That's what I'll be. God, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Philip, show us the Father. I and my Father are one. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received God's saving grace. When I received God's saving grace, he died on the cross for me, for you, for us. And when I received God's saving grace in his most wonderful way, I received God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God in his totality, in his unity and Trinity, in Trinity and unity, his awesome being. I didn't receive part of God. I didn't receive a portion. I received God in his wonderful fullness. John 17:3, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know God in his fullness. And we've shared that many times. To what? When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I did that, I received God. My relationship to God, I did, and you did. How much of God? All of God. All of God. God's awesome person beyond everything. The world and humans and creation is a finite expression of the invisible God. And God is going to demonstrate his wonderful person visibly in the person of the Lamb of God by the believers who believe. With new bodies, wonderful relationship to God. Where can we find God? See Christ, see his body, see the believers. There's God. God becomes visible in a most wonderful way. Wow. And God's going to delight in showing his awesome person forever in the believing heart. Now, having said that, chapter 17, and in 17, picking up, please, in verse 23, again, the fifth one, I in them and thou in me, the relationship that they may be made, present tense, perfect, made perfect, that they may be made perfect, complete, wanting nothing, wonderfully, wonderfully wanting nothing. They are made a unique oneness, lacking nothing. Do you understand? Nothing. Oneness. There's nothing lacking in the relationship that lasts forever. Nothing lacking. That's why you read in James in that, if we go and trust God in trial and test and trouble, what are we going to discover? Well, you can turn there, hang on. Just go over to that and read it. Why should I say it? James. And in James chapter 1, picking up, please. In verse 2. Brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trial, putting to the proof. Knowing what? This, that, the trying, proving, testing of your faith, the word the in front of it, the body of truth to be believed, God's word which we're reading. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and let patience have her perfect work, there's your word, perfect, complete, wanting nothing, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Where am I going to learn how to do that? In the trying of our faith. We're going to look to God. What are we going to do? God, what's lacking? God, we're in trouble. All kinds of needs, physical needs, sickness, disease, death, bad guys, everything, everywhere. Wow! What are we going to need? God, what do we lack? Christ in you. Nothing. Everything's there. All of it's happening. Even death. Even persecution. But you lack nothing in the will of God to be outworked in your life. You lack nothing, nothing at all. Therefore, in James, you lack nothing, wanting nothing. James 1:4. Back over to John 17. God, what do we have? This unique oneness, this relationship that may be one, perfect, complete, wanting nothing at all. And this is the will of God. The will of God, that we even have the will of God for the glory of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now you know, let me do two things perhaps to add to that. Go over with me to Hebrews again. Hebrews in chapter 7. And remember a little word perfect we just looked at. Perfect, complete, wanting nothing. God, you lack nothing. There's nothing God isn't covering about anything. Every germ, every bug, every bad thing, good thing, they're all being covered. So therefore, remember what we shared together in the light of Hebrews and that, in verse 19, well, in verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also in the law. In other words, the priesthood exhibited the law. The law was shown by the priesthood. When the law can't do anything and the priesthood didn't do anything, it can't ever make anything good. You have to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. It never answers anything. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So God, there's a wonderful thing you've done. Christ made it possible for us to be able to have a perfection. What are we reading about? The two are going to become one. You're going to become one flesh, perfect. Perfect in oneness. That's what you're going to do. And catch it again over to Peter. Or 2 Peter. And you'll catch it again. And 2 Peter, and picking up, please, in chapter 1, the relationship to God's wonderful glory. Verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, there's your word, he's given us his glory, and virtue, the word virtue is superiority, excellency in anything. God made us, so we're wonderful, wonderful. There's no, God doesn't do anything where there's a lack. God's grace and God's mercy and God's love are perfect. So when God does, there's no lacking. I could do something, and you do something, and we do it to the best of our ability, but then it's lacking. No matter what we do, we're always shortchanged. We fall short of the glory of God. We just do it. But God doesn't have that problem. Everything that God does is perfect, complete, finished. What do you mean? Whatever God does, here's the piece of the puzzle. Whatever God, here's the piece of the puzzle, we put it out. God already knows every piece. So this piece of the puzzle goes in the puzzle on the board exactly where it needs to be. And all the other pieces are known to God. You and I try to take that 5,000-piece puzzle. We can't do that. But God does. So there's nothing God, it's perfect. What he does is perfect. Do you understand? It has to be perfect. It's not nothing's lacking. It's what he does. There's nothing he does. Today, this afternoon, tonight, whatever's going to happen, God knows. And you and I, being saved, should be. And we're looking for God. What? He sends us to what? To come to church and the body of believers assembled together to enjoy and exercise their relationship to God, and they go home and do whatever we do. That's what we do. But it's God. It's always, everything's just so for you. So that's why we look to God with thanksgiving. And you're going to say, here comes the flood. Here comes the famine. Here comes the tornado. And you should try to find a rabbit hole or something to get in, if you can. Otherwise, here comes the tornado. Well, we should all be run. No, I don't have to run because I can't beat the tornado. I can't beat the tornado. So I'm just going to look, trust God. And today, you can't trust. Yes, I can. Absolutely. I would do that too. I trust him. No question. God will let it happen. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Wow. So we trust God. And God does a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you understand? He's perfect. He gives you a oneness that's perfect. Awesomely perfect. Now, having said that, in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, partners, sharers in common of the divine, God's wonderful, wonderful nature. What do we think we're reading in John 17? We're reading about this unique relationship. You say, no one can have a relationship to God, like it says in verse 4. Partakers, sharers of the divine, God's nature. How can you be that way? Because Jesus Christ has made it oneness, a wonderful, wonderful oneness. With whom? With who he is. Who he is. Not with somebody else, with him. How do we know God the Father? In Christ Jesus, we know. Christ died on the cross to save us, to give us this unique relationship. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. You say, absolutely it is. We just read it, John 17, 20, 21, 22, 23, 7 times. You're going to say, I'm telling you 7 times, 8 different ways to say the same thing. I'm trying to tell you there's a unique oneness. Your body is all one. You don't question that. You don't have to rearrange your body every time you get out of bed. You know, during the night, your liver slipped down to your toes and your lungs went up to your ear and so, a silly thing. And you're going to go and fix your body. No, you don't fix your body. It's one. And if it's shifting around, I'd go to the hospital. Something's wrong. It has to stay in place. In fact, that's why you don't want to get exploratory. You know, when they have to find something down in there, when they have to go find, they don't know where it is. It's in there. Now, the only thing I don't know much, but I know this. Your body, like you get a gift thing in the mail. You get a package in the mail. You get something in the mail. And you get it. It is so packed, you can't find it to get it out. It is so tight in there. You say no one on earth could get this in here. How do they do this? And then you try to return it. Try to return it in the box like it came. You can't do it. When they do an exploratory, they pull all your stuff out and put it on the table, you know, and here's your 27 feet or whatever you got, all these different things, and they try to figure out what's in there, and they try to stuff it back. They can never stuff it back like it was in the beginning. Do you understand that? So be of good cheer. When they have an exploratory, don't expect it to be like it was. Do you understand? You can't put it back like it is. It's packaged in the original container. And you can't put it back. I knew I'd give you that hospital illustration so you'd be encouraged. Now, understand? God is perfect. And your relationship is perfect. So therefore, you're a partaker. John over chapter 17, John 17. And was to share the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God, wow. Now, having said that, God, what are we going to do in order to exercise this unique relationship that we're to have? And you'll notice in verse 23, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. That, perfect, there it is again, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So we have to have such a unique relationship to God, perfect, perfect, complete, wanting nothing. And God's going to do a wonderful thing. And that's for God. That's for real. That's what it is. And we're in this fleshly body in our normal earthly sense. We don't sense anything. But it's real. 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 Wow. Now, over if you would please to Romans. God, what are we going to do? Romans in chapter 12. And you will note, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you understand that Christ died and he took your place and my place. He took our place on Calvary's cross. So who's hanging there? I am. You are. Where? In the perfect substitute, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are. We're one in God. One. All of us are in him. One. And that he dies for all of us. One. He buried and he rose again to make possible to believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, that we might be saved, to have a unique life. John 17:3, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know God in a unique, wonderful, wonderful way. To know him. Wow. To be able to show him in a wonderful way. So God, what are we going to do? It's a oneness. Where did I get so one with God? When he went to the cross. And I believed and received. I received he dying on the cross. I received him into my heart. I received the Lord God in my heart and got saved. Why? Because I'm in him. He took me to the cross. He buried me. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. So therefore, I have a unique relationship, a oneness, an awesome, awesome oneness. Now, God, that's how I got this oneness. It just didn't happen out of thin air. He's the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He did something awesomely wonderful and took me into himself, bearing my sin in his own body on the tree. He did that. So I have a unique oneness now. God, what am I going to do? As my Father sent me, John 17:18, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, yield your bodies. Bodies, remember the bodies are all one body. Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical service. It's the most logical thing to do. If Christ took you to the cross and you're one with him, then it's the most common thing to do. You belong to him. Well, what are we going to do? Go to the cross and get die? No. We're to be a living. He died, rose again. How are you going to show he died? We're walking around saved, alive, looking to God. We're alive, living, living, living sacrifice. Sacrifice? What do you mean? Think of 2 Corinthians 5:15. That. Henceforth, because we're one with him, don't live unto yourself. You live unto him who died for you and rose again. You have a wonderful what? Relationship to God. And you're going to show that relationship to God. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're doing. And you go to bed. You say, I'm married, and what, 1,000 things you could say, relationships. That's true. But you only have one relationship to God. And that relationship is the primary relationship. Now, I'm in this body, so are you. And our body is dying. All the cells, everything has its timing. You know, your heart was going to beat so many billion times, or 1,000,000 times. But it's all beating away. The count's there, like counting. And pretty soon it's going to stop counting. It's finished the count. Everything is going to come to an end. So God, we're looking. What are we going to do? We're going to be a living sacrifice. We're going to go and thank God he saved us. We're in a body dying. And in this body of death, we're going to demonstrate life. That's what we're going to do. By a living sacrifice. That's true. Reckon yourself, Romans, I got to quit. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Why? I have a wonderful life. It's true I'm dying. It's true everything is real, sin, sorrow, suffering. All of that's true. But I have a unique relationship to God, a oneness to God, like none other. And that is perfect and must work out itself. What's working out? The perfection of what God has done. From whose standpoint? God's standpoint. How God sees it and how God wants it. That's what we're doing. As my Father sent me, so send I you. So God, what are we doing? We have a unique, awesome, awesome oneness. And we didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to say oneness in 7,000 ways, and I'll never say it enough, because it's awesome. Husband and wife will be one flesh. John 5, Matthew 5, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5. But I'm not talking about that oneness. That's not the mystery. That's not the oneness. It's the oneness that you have with me, said God. This oneness that we're dying, we're all going to die, you know. It isn't us, it's him. Well, I got to quit. I hope you get a little bit. It's a wonderful thing God's done. What is he doing? Perfection. Perfection. That's what he's doing. God help us.